Welcome to our inaugural episode of the Ready, Set, Go to Market podcast. My name's Holly Watson, and I'm a Senior Product Marketing Manager at AWS. This series will focus on a number of different topics that make up the go-to-market process. I talk with experts across the field from, yes, product marketers and product, but also engineering and even the C-suite. To get us started, I'm pleased to introduce my good friend and talented product marketing partner, Kavya Nath. Kavya is a seasoned product marketer with over 10 years of experience in B2B, SaaS, and MarTech space. She's currently leading a team of 6 product marketers and growing, focused on driving growth strategies that build pipeline, improve customer adoption, and increase ARR. Kav, so happy to have you join me today.
Hey, Holly, thanks for having me. This is super exciting.
Awesome. So go-to-market, a big, broad, meaty topic. I know the listeners that we've got on the call today probably range from those who have executed launches and go-to-market strategies themselves to ones who maybe are just biting at the bit to get their hands on a go-to-market project. So if you could, in a kind of high-level, generalized, summarized term, how would you define what go-to-market is?
So to me, go-to-market really encompasses taking something that your product and engineering teams are building that meet the need of the market and the work that it takes to get from that point to the market, right? And there's so much that takes place in that process. I know you and I have worked in the past and we've had pretty, you know, I would say relatively rigid and expansive go-to-market approaches where we really take a product from beta phase to limited availability to definition. Oh my God, let me start over again. Where we take a product from the definition partnership stage through limited availability to general availability. And what that essentially means is you're taking a concept that has not been necessarily vetted by the market just yet, but it's an idea that you have brewing. You're able to find a partner that helps you define what the criteria is for that product to be built against. You use those requirements, you have an MVP, it gets tested by these customers. They're able to provide feedback. You're able to learn about, you know, are the use cases of these customers being met? Are we really truly solving a problem that exists today? From there, expanding that to another subset of customers and really getting more feedback is what typically is getting into the limited availability stage. By that point, a lot of the competitive analysis has been done. You've really started defining how you're going to position and message this in the market, again, based on customer pain points and need. You're able to start really defining how is this going to be priced and packaged within our existing menu and offering internally. And then looking at, you know, what are the proof points? What are the success stories and success metrics that these customers who are initially testing out this new functionality, what are they seeing? Are they hitting their business goals? Are they hitting their business objectives? Are we solving for those pain points? Are there additional pain points that come of it? Have we not fully scoped this out? So it's a really, you know, a test and learn loop that takes place in the initial phase. Before you get to general availability. When you're getting into the general availability stage is really when, you know, you've refined and you've landed your messaging, you've really built out what your sales enablement play is going to be. A lot of the internal training, implementation training has taken place. You have referenceable customers and you're really gearing up for this new product or this new feature to hit the market, to address the needs of a broader range of customers and prospects that you might be going after. And with that, usually you have, you know, a launch date tied to it, a launch event tied to it that you as an internal team are marching towards. I think it's really important to also talk about, you know, this go-to-market process isn't something that's just done between product management and product marketing. You are literally liaising with almost every department within the organization because everyone has to have a hand and plays a part. Everyone touches the customer, right? From pre-sales to post-sales, customer success, marketing. In some way, shape, or form, you're touching your customers or you're touching your target market. And making sure that all of these teams you know, are ready and prepared for that launch date or that launch timeframe that you're marching towards, and have everything that they need to make sure that they are successful once this product actually hits the market.
Wow, lots covered in a go-to-market. It's not, doesn't sound like it's a singular threaded thing. I really love what you said in terms of go-to-markets being this test and learn loop. A lot of the times when we think about those processes, we think of them being very linear.
Yeah.
And oftentimes with go-to-markets, they're much more cyclical as you've defined them, right? Going through those beta, definition, partnership, limited availability, and trying to get to that GA. That takes time, and that's an iterative process.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, given the complexity of a product or a feature, if you're building something net new, obviously that timeline is extended and is much longer because you're starting from scratch in some ways. I think if it's a feature enhancement to an existing product, that timeline of go-to-market might be a little bit shorter. And what you might need to get done, you know, in order to prepare internally, is a little bit more streamlined and maybe less rigid or less time intensive. But I think those are the types of things that you have to take a look at as you're deciding, you know, how impactful is this going to be? How big of a lift is this going to be to truly be successful? And it could be, you know, looking at, is this something that a customer will intuitively be able to pick up and do? Is it something where you need to have an implementation manager or somebody that's focused on customer onboarding or customer success play a hand in ensuring the customer sees success, right? And so there's levels in which you can tier a launch based on the sort of projected outcomes that you're expecting to see by introducing the new functionality. Mm.
And I'm sure those types of qualifiers, right? Is this net new to the market? How intuitive is the solution? And, you know, what type of internal enablement? Those are almost qualifiers for you to create your work back schedule. You can set your GA date and then work back from that in terms of your production and all the alignment that has to be done across your stakeholders.
Yep, absolutely.
Something else you mentioned in the first part of your response was really thinking about how everyone touches the customer.
Yes.
And if you're thinking, you know, I'm an engineer, or as a product marketer, I might do customer research and have a few, you know, customer calls to understand, you know, their use cases. That concept, though, is it's a very, you know, becoming a very popularized concept in terms of customer first thinking. And that's touching any scale or any scope of size of organization. So whether you're enterprise, whether you're mid-market or even SMB, being that customer first driven is very important. How does that mentality play into launches and into go-to-market strategies?
I think that is one of the biggest roles that a product marketer has to play. Mm-hmm. At any point, right? You know, product management, engineering, they're typically moving at lightning speed, really excited about what they're building. And while they're taking in what requirements are necessary, the true understanding of how is this going to impact a customer that's going to see this pop up within the platform is something that a product marketer, that you have to be the customer in that, in this go-to-market situation, right? You are continuously going to have to be the person as part of that go-to-market team whose questions are always through the lens of, well, how does this impact a customer? If I'm a customer, what questions might I have if something like this is introduced to me? As a customer, does this make sense? And being able to sort of be the voice of the customer through the entire process and ensuring that the other departments, right, that you are working and collaborating with are also starting to understand and think that way really will make the group start thinking that way and start bringing to light areas where, you know, you may not realize, you know, something might go awry and a customer might not necessarily have, you know, the best experience at the end of the day. I mean, for example, if, you know, you have a new feature that requires maybe a different area of your platform to be able to utilize it, they need access to that area of the platform. We can't just make the assumption that that customer is going to readily adopt this new product area in order to have access to that feature. So what is the path to ensuring that customers actually adopt the new functionality that we're building out? within the confines of the things that they're going to also have to do on their end in order to adopt that, you have to take all of those things into consideration, right? And mm-hmm. having to be very on point and on top of making sure that you're bringing that perspective to the table from beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that, that voice of the customer and having the product marketers be that representation. This actually kind of takes us into, our next kind of idea here in thinking about how we best represent the customer is something that I ran across when working with, my partners from engineering and product is the conversation of how a software development lifecycle or SDLC mm-hmm. complements but differs from a GTM or go-to-market. How can you help us understand how an SDLC and GTM are separate but different?
I think the way to think about it is SDLC fits into a go-to-market, but again, going back to your point, not in a completely linear fashion, right? I think when you look at software development, there could be several different sprints and releases tied to a certain functionality, right? For something to become a complete product. Now the go-to-market is taking that new product, that new feature, but again, understanding what is it solving and how are we actually going to get it into the hands of the customer in order to bring that value to them is where the go-to-market process comes to play. The product and engineering teams, are working against, their own sort of, either whether it be agile, waterfall, their own sort of engineering framework to develop these new functionalities. Now, just because it's done and it's released does not mean it's launched, right? There's a lot of work that it takes for a product to truly be launched. And it's that internal education that maps to a marketing campaign, marketing execution, that ultimately puts a product in market to your customers or to your prospects. And that is where the go-to-market function really comes to play. It is making sure that extension of a product being released and completed and launched, so to speak, on the and the product and engineering side goes through that full life cycle of go-to-market to ensure that it's successful against your business objectives in the end. Hmm.
No, I love the way that you phrase that, right? Making sure that the code might be ready, you might be able to, push it into production, but at the same time, are your internal stakeholders aligned? Do you have market fit? Is there a compelling event that you can associate it to that kind of helps complement that development lifecycle that takes place on a regular basis? That's great.
And it comes down to, does your sales team know how to sell it? Do they know how to talk about it? Do they know how to demo it? If a customer were to hear about it, would your success manager understand, how it fits into the current customer's existing, product maturity, how they're using your technology today? Will this actually complement, what they are doing within your mm-hmm. within your platform? From a marketing perspective, are we reaching the right audiences with the right message that this product or feature ultimately ties to again, broaden your market presence and your brand awareness? And so it really does come down to making sure that story and that narrative is really baked in and all teams are enabled to be able to speak about it the same way and articulate the value to whoever their audience in the moment is. Mm.
So do go-to-markets end on launch day?
No. I think when you think about a go-to-market, right, there's, and at times, a lot of companies have a target launch date, and I think that's great. Sometimes that date moves. Sometimes it's more of a soft, like diffusion launch where you have several activities that take place over, a couple of weeks' time where it may culminate in, at an event. Maybe you are putting out a press release, but go to market really is tying in all of these things to hit a target date or a target timeline. But really what comes after that is, are you meeting your business objectives? Are you selling this product? Are you able to attain, ARR? Are you able to build pipeline? And so after launch day, it's really the measuring of all of these programs that you're ultimately putting in place as part of your general availability launch. Are these campaigns, hitting the goals that you've set is sales really comfortable and able to go out the gate and start talking about this product or this feature to, you know, current existing deals that are in play, to net new prospects that are coming.
And so I would definitely say GTMs do not end on launch.
I think there's a huge play of measurement and continuous optimization. Obviously, post-launch day, it's really all about, you know, what is marketing doing to help build pipeline? How are we able to grow, continue to drive awareness, drive adoption, and get the market share that we ultimately built this solution for?
Mm. Yeah, what I'm kind of hearing in that answer is you have a date, but there's a go-to-market plan that you're working with your engineering and product side of the house. And then if I kind of shift gears a little bit, you look at your other partners in marketing. And your go-to-market plan is complemented by maybe a campaign brief or a campaign plan that leverages that GA date as, you know, a big event. Again, maybe in the days of live events, might be a live event. It might be some type of a virtual event these days.
Yes, absolutely.
But then there's a campaign that follows, right? There's a lot of more activities that for weeks.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the biggest piece as you march towards GA, right? Is once you've got the internal training enablement sort of completed, the sales enablement portion done, it's really building out what is the marketing playbook for this new functionality. And that's really what continues on post-launch is the programs that are built and run by your marketing teams that continue on post-launch date to continue to help build pipeline, help build awareness, to help drive, you know, building and growing revenue across that product line.
Yeah. So pulling back from, we've done our GA, we've done our big marketing campaigns, and, you know, everything is humming along. If looking at that as our model or our goal, right, we want to get to those points. We want to get to that point where everyone's on the same page and everything's going good. We're bringing on in all the ARR. What for maybe a product marketer who hasn't ran a launch before or a newer team that is just starting this process, what's the best way to start your go-to-market launch plan? And how do you kind of start it so you're setting it up for success?
I think the first thing is let me take it one step back, is to truly align on what the goal is with this launch, right? I think you can be introducing different things that maybe have a focus on driving net new revenue, right? And building pipeline. You can be building things that really are an adoption play where you really want to drive adoption of new features with your existing customer base. And it could end up being more of a retention and like a stickiness play. And so really sort of first setting the stage of what are we building, why, and what is the goal that the business has for this new functionality? And honestly, most will probably straddle a little bit of both, whether adoption and being able to build pipeline. I think the next biggest thing is to identify your internal stakeholders and your RACI. Understand who all of the players are internally that you're going to need to collaborate with, because it's going to be a larger group than you probably envisioned right off the bat. Once you've got that identified, understand what role each of those individuals is going to play as part of your go-to-market. And go-to-markets can vary, right? We've got ones that we've put together in the past that are very extensive and can get really into the details that will involve finance, pricing, packaging. You may have others where it might not get that detailed, but really outlining, you know, stage by stage, what it is that each team member across the organization needs to contribute to make each phase of your go-to-market successful, have that be very clear, defined, understand, you know, the scope of work involved for everybody. And I think the biggest thing you could do is
have a kickoff call, get all of those people on the same page. And I think it's so underrated how many times you end up having a go-to-market that just like by osmosis starts happening at an organization and everyone's like talking to one or two people over here. You've got a couple calls happening over there. The value you will get from having everybody on a call together to set the stage, set the objectives, and understand roles and responsibilities in a go-to-market is the number one way to make it successful, because then everyone's marching towards the same end goal. So that would be my number one tip, is get everyone on the same page as soon as you can, and then you'll all be working towards the same goal.
It sounds so simple.
Totally. So hard to do.
Well, I guess a question to follow on is I love that. I think it's so important to set the stage and get everybody on the same page. Is it fair to say that as a product marketer, that's one of the key responsibilities that the product marketer owns and has?
Absolutely. I think the launch plan, launch checklist, the what needs to get done is absolutely the role that product marketing plays in ensuring a successful go-to-market. I'd even like cross title that as, you know, product marketer / project manager, because that's really what the job entails when it comes to go-to-market.
Well, I know that through this series, we're going to be diving into so many other topics. You've covered a wide kind of overarching touch on so many of them, from the relationship with different stakeholders, including product managers, our different stakeholders in marketing, sales, success, you know, pricing and packaging, finance. That list, like you mentioned, covers the organization. We're also going to dive into, you know, the launch tiering that you mentioned, or launches versus releases. So this series, I'm so excited to continue the conversations with many other individuals who've, you know, tried and true in the profession. But one last question for you, Kav, is, you know, before we say adieu to our listeners, what tips or tricks might you personally want to share with the crew that's listening in?
Always be asking questions. I think that's the biggest tip I can give. And it's something that I do myself. And there is value in asking questions of every department, of everybody that you come across, because it's going to make you a better product marketer in the end. Understanding and truly knowing how each role functions within an organization, how that impacts the customer. You will get tidbits from everybody, and I guarantee you it will shape the way that you look at your own role when you have that information, especially with, you know, customer field-facing teams. There's a lot of value in just continuing to ask questions. And even in the scope of, you know, go-to-market, again, putting yourself in the lens of that customer and just continue asking questions, because the more visibility you have to how your customers will be interacting with you, your technology, and your brand, it's going to make you a better product marketer, and it's going to make you a better marketer. And ultimately, it's all aligned to driving customer experiences, and it helps deliver the best customer experiences you can.
So good. This is exactly why I wanted to have you on.
I'm glad that you asked me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Like I said, everyone, this whole series is around go-to-market. So we're going to be diving into a bunch of topics. Kav, you said it great. This is a continuous process. It's something that needs to be more thought of as a cyclical loop. Always be learning, and definitely have that product marketer be representing the voice of the customer. Very well put. Thanks, Kav, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon.